Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. This is right after, I'll read verse 6 and 7 to bring it in context. So it was that while they, Mary and Joseph, were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Lord, help us as we study to learn and, Lord, just better understand what you did and how you did it when Jesus was born. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, your first page there has 11 sets of words. Each one has two words in there. So we're just going to go through this rather rapidly, and I'll make comments. There's way more than I'm going to be able to even comment about, but I'll do my best. The center is more of a chronology. We're just going to step through it. This is what happened. Verse 8 here, that now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So we call the first one here shepherds guarding. Okay? Shepherds were guarding. That's the term that was used there. Literally, it's actually interesting, but they were guarding the guard of the night, literally. So that it actually uses the term twice. Once in a verb form and once in a noun form, but guarding the guard of the night is what it was. So that's what shepherds do. They keep their sheep, and when you say keep, they're guarding. So it's a watchfulness. It's an alertness. They have to be awake and aware of what's going on to make sure that the sheep stay safe. The shepherds, we're going to talk about why the shepherds on the backside, but the shepherds were the economic bottom, of this ladder, so to speak. They were often despised. They were equivalent to, if you will, the McDonald's workers, the unskilled labor kind of thing. Of course, that didn't make it easy to do their job. It's still hard to do. Shepherding was a 24/7 type of job. So, you know, they were just the ones that weren't treated very well. And so we'll talk about them a little bit more later. But that the shepherds were out, and what time of the day was it? It was nighttime, okay? So they're keeping watch over the flock by night. And it was many shepherds watching a single flock, it seems like, probably a large flock. Again, we're going to talk about why the shepherds on the backside. And behold, verse 9, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. So I call this a surprise visit. Now for us, we that have audio, visual, and special effects, it's hard for us to fathom this. Because we've all seen all kinds of amazing things on television. And we've seen airplanes fly. We've seen all this stuff. And then also the superimposed, you know, effects, the digital effects of huge things happening. So we're numb. And we've never seen this happen, but we've seen bigger, better, faster things that have been made by computers or whatever for movies and all of those things. Folks, nothing like this had ever happened before, and they never seen anything like it. One of the things I really enjoy about being out in the country at night is you can see it's dark and you can see the stars. You can see all the stars. And, you know, and that's what they're used to every night. They see, you know, it's just dark and you see the stars and possibly the moon if it's a moonlit night, but it's pretty dark out there. And that's all they had. They didn't, they couldn't, oh, that reminded me of the movie I saw and, you know, whatever. They didn't have any of that. So I think we're numb in many of these things because we have so much fiction and falsehood that we, that numbs us to the truth, okay? I remember, I was trying to think what it was. It was some movie I saw, but they were saying, everything you see there except these people is all computer-generated. And you're like, wow, ships, all this stuff in the background. It's hard for us to just think truthfully because of all that we've seen, okay? They didn't watch special effects movies. This is completely new to them. And they were afraid. And you're like, no kidding. Okay? This would have been, even if we experienced this, it would be fearful because you would be there. It's a little different watching something as opposed to experiencing it. But still, what do you have here? They're sitting there watching their sheep at night. And all of a sudden, it says, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. What's the glory of the Lord? What do you think of? Yeah, light. It would be just brilliant light shown all around them. So here's this angel, and then you have this brilliant light. And what happens at night, and then you get light even? It'd be shining very brightly, but also, what do your eyes do? Yeah, you're like, you know, so all of these things are compounding. You know, there's an angel, and you're like, you see it, but it's hard to look at first because your eyes are, used to the dark. Even if you have a fire going or something, it's like, oh, wow, that's bright. Okay, so the glory of the Lord shone around them. So not only is it an angel that, you know, shows up with no warning, but there's this brilliant light, and they were greatly afraid. Okay, they were fearful, and rightly so. There's no reason not to be afraid of something like that. It's never happened, and that, you know, they're there to protect the animals, but right now they may be thinking of running because whatever this is, it's not normal. Okay. Now verse 10 says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So I call this special news. The angel is telling them, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. I'm here to give you good news. Okay, we're going to dissect that a little more. All right. And don't worry about the comment there. The stuff on the back used to be on top. So that's why it says C above. It actually is C below. We'll get to that when I get there. So I've got good news. Don't be afraid. I'm here, and I'm here for a good reason. I have very good news for you. Verse 11, for there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So number 4 is Savior born. We're going to tell you here, this special news tells them the type of news, and the Savior born is what the news is, okay? What the actual news is. The first Noel, remember the song Noel? Noel is the birth announcement. That's what the word Noel means. It's the first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds. The first people that were instructed by God about Jesus' birth were these shepherds. I mean, and you have to stop and ponder that, because of all the people that they could have told, God could have told, He didn't tell the religious leaders, He didn't tell the political leaders, He didn't knock on their door and say, hey, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He didn't tell Herod. He didn't tell the priest. He told these shepherds, these obscure shepherds that have no name, you know, that they're recorded for us here. And I put, were there more announcements? There's no indication that there's any other announcement other than the one that we'll talk about next week with the wise men. And the wise men, by and large, made their decision based upon Scripture, not the star. They let the Scripture interpret what the star meant. Okay? Okay, so that's number four. Number five, verse 12. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So there's a sign given. That's number five. There's a sign given. And you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Okay? So maybe I'll just put swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes and manger. That's repeated several times. That was the significant thing, that this is how you know it's the right circumstance, because, and it's interesting, you didn't see an address. I mean, when you go to Bethlehem and someone says, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. I mean, like, I'd be like, can I get an address? I mean, how did they find them? It doesn't tell us. Did they go door to door? Does that make sense? I mean, there's, you know, they'd never seen a manger scene with a Cupid on top pointing down, or, you know, they didn't know where to look.
Wasn't there a star?
We'll talk about the star next week, but the star did not appear till later, apparently. The wise men, we'll tell you next week, but remember, Herod killed all the babies from what age down? Based upon what the wise men said about when the star appeared. So when the wise men appeared, they didn't find Jesus in a manger. In fact, the word uses toddler. He was in a house by then, and he was probably a year and a half old, because Herod killed all the babies 2 years old and younger. He wouldn't have had to do that if the baby had just been born. So the star was for the wise men, not the shepherd. There was no star. Maybe the star appeared for the wise men, but it didn't in any way help the shepherds. There was nothing there that mentioned about that. So somehow, how did they find this baby in a manger? I mean, maybe there was some ruckus, you know, when there's a baby born, there's a lot of, you know, celebration or whatever, maybe, you know, going on. So maybe it was easy to find in the middle of the night when everybody else is sleeping. Ah, there's a light. There's, you know, there's something going on over here. Maybe it was easy to find. I don't know. All speculation there. But it's, the details are repeated. You know, verse 7, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Verse 12, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. Verse 16, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Okay? And then it's implied in verse 20, it was told them there was a baby lying in a manger. Okay, so not that it's significant beyond the fact that it's a humble beginning, but they knew what to look for and it was not the norm. Okay, verses 13, 14, and 15, I kind of scrunched these together just because you could put so many different things. But notice here, one angel talking with all this light around, and all of a sudden, and suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. I kind of stopped there. So I call this the singing. What do you think of when you think of host? Huh? Yeah. The word host, I think of Joshua in the Old Testament. And he walks up to somebody, there's a stranger there, and he goes, "Are you with us or against us?" And he goes, "Take your shoes off, because I'm the captain of the Lord's host." What do you think of it then? Yeah. The word host is the word for army. Okay? So it's I call it a singing army. But the word for saying, they might have spoken it or they could have sung it. There's no distinguishing. They verbalized that whether it was singing or not. The scripture doesn't say they sang. The word can be translated singing, but there's nothing in the text that indicates that they were singing. And so the New King James translates it saying. So they might not have sung anything. They might have just said it. Like a shout or some glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Okay? So the hark the herald angels sing is not biblically inaccurate. It's just biblically indistinguished. It may or may not be singing. We don't know that. I've heard people talk, you know, that the stars of heaven sang, and sometimes the angels are referred to as stars. So sometimes they sing, but we don't know if they sang here or not. But it, certainly they gave credence to what the first angel said, because there was this huge army, and it says a multitude. Now, two things I'm thinking about here. Number one, how many is a multitude? And number two, how am I going to get 8 kids that look like a multitude Wednesday? Okay, trust me, we can do it. But anyway, or Stephen can anyway. But we think of a few, or there could have been thousands. Remember Jesus, it was in the process of him being prosecuted and getting ready to be punished. Peter cuts the ear off of Malchus and Jesus puts it on, which for some reason the people around him don't even get that he's the Son of God. Okay, and he says, "Put away your sword. Don't you know that at any moment I could call and have 10,000 angels come at my disposal?" Like, the Creator would need any angels. But I mean, as far as numbers, we're not here, you know, for numbers, Jesus said, because numbers are not a problem. I could have over 10,000 angels at my beck and call. Okay? So maybe there was 10,000 angels there. And we think of a multitude. I don't think of a handful, do you? So, I mean, the whole sky can maybe be filled with these angels. Okay? The multitude, an army. And literally it says the army of heaven. I don't have my Greek with me here, but it's just interesting. But literally it says the heavenly host. So it says here, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, but it's literally, heavenly is of heaven, is how what the literal Greek is. So it's the host of heaven, the army of heaven, a multitude of the army of heaven. Okay? And by the way, you see often that, at least some, angels are seen as warriors. You know, usually angels are light and fluffy and everybody presents them that way, but you don't see them in Scripture. They're messengers, but you see where Michael is as an archangel, or, you know, and that's a rank. It's like he's the general of the angels kind of thing. Or in the Old Testament, Daniel, he was told that the angels were fighting for over, 2 weeks or 2 months to get to him, because they were fighting the kings or whatever, they were prevented from getting there sooner. So the angels are a fighting force. That doesn't mean the fighting force can't sing. Understand that, but they're not just light, fluffy, sissy people. They're warriors. They're an army. Okay? Excuse me. Notice here, glory to God in the highest. They're singing. Can you hear that upstairs? But they're singing the In Excelsis Deo, remember? In the highest, the word highest is a euphemism for heaven. So glory to God in the highest. It's in the high place. Okay? And notice that comes first. God first. Glory to God in the highest, in the high place. So God gets glory. What does men get? What do men get? That sounds like terrible English there. What do men get? Peace. They don't get glory. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Glory to God in the high place. And on earth, there's two parts. There's heaven and earth. Throughout all of the Bible, and I see this over and over ever since we studied Genesis 1, but there's heavens and earth, okay? That's representative of all that God has created. But glory to God in the highest, the third heaven, where angels dwell, we said. And then on earth, peace and goodwill to men. So men don't get glory. Glory belongs to God. And the angels acknowledge that, look, God gets glory for what He's done. He's provided a Savior. Okay? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then all of a sudden, with that announcement, here come this multitude of the army of heaven praising God. Notice Christmas is God-centered, not man-centered. Is that different than what you see in culture? Christmas is, what am I getting for Christmas? You don't see that inkling here. God is, it's God-centered, and look what God has given you. And it's a specific gift. Okay? It's a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Okay? It's a short visit. I mean, all they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then all the angels are gone. I mean, it was just, can you imagine being the shepherds? It seems like it's like a 2-minute thing. Okay? It's not like they did a cantata. You know, now 34th verse of our 15th song. Well, you know, it's no. Here's the angel says, do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's gone. Okay? That's what they got. It seemed like just a short 1 or 2 minute thing, and that's it. Okay? It doesn't give us indication, but it looks like it didn't last very long. But it was one angel. They're scared. He tells them about the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And all of a sudden, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then the angels are gone. Now it says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. Number 7, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. I call this a speedy visit. By the way, you don't have to agree with everything you hear from me or anybody else, as long as you have reason to, but I don't agree with one thing that Lee Strobel said. At the beginning, he was talking about, well, the shepherds talked about it and said, let's go see and make sure that what is true, you know, is said. I don't, from the text here, they believed everything that was told. They weren't going to see if a baby was there. They were going to see the baby that was there. Does that mean? Yeah, they weren't doubting anything. If you read it here, it says, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that," what? "Has come to pass, and which the Lord has made known to us." So it's, they're not disbelieving, they're not doubting, they're not in a state of uncertainty. They are going, well, they believe what they saw, and they went to Bethlehem because they believe what they saw, not to make sure it's true. That's one thing that I, you know, that I would differentiate with, between me and Lee Strobel. Over to your right here, it says they believe the information. They believe the location. You know, they said, under the city of David, let's go to Bethlehem. Okay, that's where David was born and raised. And they believed the source of the information. What the angel said, they took as truth, which the Lord has made known to us. They took it as truth from the Lord. Okay? So they took the angel, what the angel said, as being from the Lord. And they believed it. Again, they went to Bethlehem because they wholly and fully expected to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, the Savior of the world, who is Christ the Lord. They didn't go hoping that it's true. They went believing that it was true by what it says here. Yeah.
I always wonder about this because they probably left some guy to take care of sheep.
Right.
Maybe the poor guy that got left behind.
Yeah, the farmer here, he's like, okay, there's livestock, so I'm just going to watch livestock. Now, were they in a, what do you call it? What do you put the sheep in? Yeah. But still, someone would have to watch them. That's why they're guarding them in the first place. Yeah. Well, oftentimes I think at night they would put them in a, what's it called? Huh? Fold. Is that right? But they're out in the field. So I don't think it's a cave in the field, but maybe there is. I mean, there's plenty of stuff like that in the... Right. They didn't say how far either.
There's a lot of things you can suppose.
Right. Yeah. Well, apparently there wasn't any discussion because it was so blatantly there.
Maybe that's why they sent them all, because so that there were so many.
Yeah. And you would think, who else saw this? I mean, can you imagine, okay, they're not the only shepherds in the field. It was like, hey, Micah, look over there, how bright it is. Let's go. And what's this? All of a sudden, this glory to God in the highest stuff. there's a lot. And the Bible doesn't tell us more. It just tells us just enough, I guess. But, yeah, no. And if it's something that bright, you can see light from a long ways away. I mean, it just shows up. So. Yes. Yeah, and they were able to see them. Apparently, the heavenly hosts, the army. So anyway, yeah, so I would think too, you know, did they leave someone behind? You know, so I would guess that they did. But anyway, okay, verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So number 8 is, Savior found. Okay, and it's like, again, there's no details. It's like, okay, I don't know how big Bethlehem was. The one video we watched last week said it was like 1,000 people. I think it might have been way more than 1,000 people. You know, there it was a secular production there. But it's like, how do you find it? is it dark in the middle of the night and there's a commotion going on, and so you can, you know, there's lights on where normally there wouldn't be lights, you know, because someone's burning torches, and it's likely that there's extended family up and about, you know, when there's a baby born, everyone just doesn't go back to bed. Okay. So the Savior's on, as they were told, right after the birth. So someone mentioned, how far was it? Well, it was close enough that apparently they could go there, and it wasn't that far away. You know, maybe it was a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles or something, but they were able to get there. The baby's still in a manger, and it was that day, born to you this day in the city of David. So apparently the angels announced it right after Jesus was born. Okay, it wasn't a day later, it wasn't a month later, it was right after, and they were able to get in short order to get in there. By the way, I'm telling you more than I know right now. I know this sounds funny, but this is a city. There's the priests got so much area around the city, and that was their land. Remember, the priests got no land. Remember, the 12 tribes of Israel, the Levites got no land. They got cities, and then around the cities, they had the common land around the cities. It's not unlikely that these shepherds were in this common land around Bethlehem, which was one of the priestly cities. And so, we'll talk about it a little bit, but it's not unlikely that these could be Levite shepherds raising sheep that would be sacrificed in the temple. Okay, we'll talk about that when we flip the page over. But because of that common area, I can't remember what the distance is, but it's walking distance kind of stuff, you know. They had a circumference of that land, that even though that city is in somebody else's territory, that city belongs, and so does the land belong to the priest. Okay, that was their land to grow and their flocks and whatever. Okay, verses 17 and 18. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They just passed it on. They believed what they heard as being true. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Number 9, then, is story told. The shepherds didn't just go home. They went out and told everybody else. And whether it was 2 in the morning, 5 in the morning, we don't know. But they went out. They didn't just go see Jesus and then run home. They just went around and told everybody. Why? Because the Savior was anticipated all the way back from Genesis onward that God would send somebody. And guess what? Tonight is the night, and we have met him. We have met this Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Emmanuel. He's the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ is not a Christ, he's the Christ that the entire Old Testament of 39 English books foretold. Okay, so it wasn't just like when my first baby was born, Esther, you know, we would call any time, day or night. You know, and after a while I got to the point where my dad, I kind of got the idea that, well, I probably could have waited till morning to tell my dad. you know, it's like, good, that's good. Who are you again? It's 5 in the morning, you know, or whatever. So, but I'm saying this is different than your first child, or I call anybody anytime when I have a baby, but you know, this is not just a child. It is the Son of God. It's the Christ. The Christ the Lord. He's God in the flesh. And so they're going around telling everybody what they were told. And sure enough, what the angel said, we'd find somebody, there's this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Exactly. So we know this is the one and all that. So the Savior was found. They heard that what the angel told them. They saw what the angel said they would see. They told others what they heard and saw, both what they heard and what they saw, and they did not hide the good news, the idea that we're to share like the shepherds. 19, verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What is this all about? I called it safeguarded, and that's the word. She kept, she guarded. Safeguarded thoughts. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The best I can do with this is this. From the very beginning, Mary was told, blessed art thou, you're highly favored among women. You found favor with God. You're going to bear a child. His name, you'll call his name Jesus. He'll be the Son of the Highest. Okay, and his rule there'll be no end. Okay, he's the Messiah, like foretold in the Old Testament. These are all things that would be true of the Messiah. But what wasn't she told? She wasn't told any details. Remember, as best we could tell, she just sat back, not out of passiveness, but what would you say? She apparently didn't tell Joseph, her parents, anybody. What are you supposed to say? It's up to God to work out the details. God notified Joseph, apparently, maybe 6 months afterward. He didn't tell him right away. Okay? Because she had been to Elizabeth at least 3 months, and she was now discovered to be with child. She was pregnant without being married, so likely showing. Okay, so God took care of that. But Mary and even Joseph later, all along, they were just there, but God didn't tell them all the details. Mary didn't know how God was going to let everybody know about the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And she's like, I put it down here in your notes. Mary was learning as she went. She wasn't told everything beforehand. I mean, she's just like, oh, this is amazing. Okay. Like when she went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb, you know, stuff like that. All this stuff is like happening. She's experiencing God working in her and around her without being told that all of this is going to happen. She assumes that God will take care of it, but God doesn't tell her all the details. And she's like, wow. You know, God didn't say, hey, you're going to get some visitors tonight. They're going to be shepherds. They'll be stopping by. I'm going to let, you know. No. All of a sudden, you know, it's like, I don't know how they did it. You know, do you just walk in or, you know, Africa, they clap or whatever. But you knock on the door and it's like, hey, can we stop by and see your baby? We were told by, you know, the angels, and oh, you know, can you imagine all that commotion going on there on top of a baby being born? I mean, and she's like, wow. And it says she kept all these things, guarded them in her, and pondered them in her heart. She's like putting God's puzzle pieces together as he hands them to her. And I don't know that she fully understood all the pieces all the way along. You know, she knew he was the Son of God, but I don't know that she fully understood that he would be crucified. And, you know, it's like, can you imagine going through that experience? Your child being crucified before your eyes? But all of this she kept in her heart. Last one here. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. I wonder what, if Mary and Joseph told them anything. You know, it doesn't say, but the shepherds return. After they kind of told everybody everything, okay? God's gift of Jesus is to ultimately cause us to glorify and praise God. Now, this is one little emphasis here. Everyone knows I'm a Scrooge about Christmas. I'm not, really, if you're the biblical Christmas, but what does the Christmas account cause you to do? Not look at the things you have It causes you to look at God and praise Him. A biblical Christmas turns our heart toward God in response to His gift of a Savior. Everything else draws our attention away from that. Christmas is to do just that. If a biblical Christmas is observed, that's what happens. God is praised and glorified. Okay, quickly, why the shepherds? I'm going to write four down here real quick. Shepherds. I believe because it's God announced it to the humble. Okay, I'll come back and get these. He announced it to the uneducated. He announced it, and these are all the shepherds, because of the functional value, potentially. I just put value extra. And then because of prophecy. Okay? You can write them down. But the good news, if God goes to the humble, it's indicative that the good news is to everyone, not just the elite. Okay? The elite politically, the elite economically, the elite religiously, they fit none of those. Okay? They were the bottom of all of those, in a sense. They were uneducated. The educated were told. But they were told by the Word of God through prophecy over hundreds of years, even thousands of years. Okay? So the educated were informed and they should have known. From the creation of time onward, the humanity was aware of it, but also through special revelation through the Bible, the religious elite, even the political elite should have been aware of it. So they were informed. They were just informed long before the shepherds. It's possible that God told the shepherds because there was a functional thing. Likely they were watching the sacrificial sheep. Okay, Jesus was to be the Lamb of God, the true sacrifice. The sheep were just a symbol of the true Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. Okay, so I think there's a statement by God that He's saying too. It's like, hey, you're going to be out of a job. Not in so many words. They didn't quit shepherding because of this. But I'm saying because of that, the specific purpose of raising sheep. Remember, if you travel from a distance to Jerusalem to do sacrificing, what did you do? You didn't bring your livestock. You brought money and bought sacrificial sheep and sacrificed them. You were allowed to do that. If you were poor, you got to do doves or whatever. And then prophetical, it was in Bethlehem. The shepherds, they were happened to be shepherds in Bethlehem. So all of those things, it's like that was prophesied beforehand. And they were just letting the neighborhood know, Bethlehem, that hey, what God said for all these hundreds and hundreds of years has come to pass. And God wanted to let them know that. But the God appearing to the shepherds is huge for us, the common people. You know what I'm saying? It shows that what God had for mankind was for all mankind. Okay, eight more points here real quick. What did the angel announce? The first Noel. The type of announcement. What is your space? Okay, there's four words here. Unto you is born this day. He says, do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be at all people. So, number one, is comforting news. Do not be afraid. Comforting news. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings. So good news. By the way, that that word is evangelize, I think, if I recall. It's I bring you good news. I am evangelizing. That's what the word good evangelize means, is good news, right? I bring you good news of great joy. So it's joyous news. And universal news. It was to be to what? To whom? all people. Isn't that fantastic? Christmas, the way we exercise Christmas should bring that out. It's comforting news. It's good news. It's joyous news. And it's for everybody. That's the type of announcement. And lastly, I'll put it over here. I'm just writing all over the board right now. And the content of the announcement, okay? This is the type of announcement, the content of the announcement. There's four words again, I think. I guess I got double words here, okay? It's a personal Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. It says, unto you is born, right? It's not unto that. He's telling the shepherds, and I believe the shepherds are representative of all mankind. Unto you, it's a personal Savior, is born this day. It's a present birth, this day. And a precise location in the city of David. And I call it the perfect Lord. It's a perfect Lord. Is that what I put down here? Perfect Lord. Yeah. For unto you is born, unto you, the personal Savior, is born this day, present birth, in the city of David, precise location, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is the promised one of God. The Savior of the world. So that's his content. I mean, it's not long. His sermon was 4 points, but it was very short, one sentence. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But I would say one of the most significant things about this is unto you. He didn't say for a Savior is born. He said unto you a Savior is born. That is huge. You know, mankind has been provided a Savior, and it's Christ the Lord. So... And that reflects the idea of those two Isaiah passages in your notes. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name what? God with us. Emmanuel means God with us, right? And for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, it was worth partying over. So, I'm sure that this could be a month-long passage, because there's more to be had than I've been able to discover or tell you, even about what the angel said, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, what it all does that mean. But, at least to give you a taste, huh? Questions or comments? Thank you for putting up with the frog factor. Next week I probably should be back to normal. Next week we're just jumping ahead one more event, which is somewhere between 0 and 2 years, because Herod killed all the kids 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem. So I'm guessing 1.5 years old, and Herod was just being thorough. Okay, but we're going to talk about the wise men and their visit and who they were and their names and the model of camel they drove. And we'll shake your boots a little bit, though, about the wise men, because it's very unlikely that the wise men traveled by themselves. When Hillary Clinton goes to Wherever'sville or even Mrs. Obama and takes 200 people with her. Okay. And Mrs. Obama is only the wife of the president. She holds no official position. She has 20-some staff people working. Think about the wise men. They would be some kind of political group, and they Well, I'll just tell you ahead of time. Some people speculate that there could have been 500 people traveling. And wouldn't that spark your interest if you were Herod? You know, if you had somebody walking along and there was one of them or three of them, it's like, yeah, we get weirdos by the door all the time. But when you have an official visit, Herod's a little scared. Yeah, all of the above. Yeah, servants, guards, someone to take care of the camels, you know, wash and wax the camels, something like that, cook their food, yeah, all that. Anyway, we'll talk about that more. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you mostly for your Savior, and we do praise and glorify you. Help us to be like the shepherds who have our hearts drawn to you and what you have done during this season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.